Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to What is Etiquette Anyways, the talk show, where we are making the world a polite place to live. We discuss a variety of topics and always enjoy interacting with our listeners. You may join the conversation live by calling 516-418-5894 or email your questions or comments to missdonnaspeaks@gmail.com. You may join the conversation live by calling 516-418-5894 or email your questions or comments to missdonnaspeaks@gmail.com. Now here's your host, John Maxwell, certified speaker, 25 plus years, master trainer and coach, Miss Donna.
Happy Sunday. Welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. I am Donna Paige Riley, and today is Sunday, July 23rd, 2023. We are broadcasting from the lovely and warm city of Atlanta. Welcome, welcome. This evening, we will be talking about self-care. Do we really do we take care of ourselves enough? Are we in tune with ourselves enough? And we're going to talk about mental health. And so stay tuned for this empowering conversation. First of all, since the name of the show is What is Etiquette Anyway, I always like to begin the show mainly for the benefit of the new listeners. And if you are, this is your first time listening, welcome, welcome to the What is Etiquette Anyway family. But since the name of the show, again, is a question, what is etiquette anyway? I always like to just kind of go over the answer to that. And etiquette is just simply a set of rules of behavior. By using these rules, people make living with each other more pleasant and comfortable. I don't know if that's what you want, but I know that it's certainly what I would like, and part of the reason that I do the show. And the word etiquette itself comes from an old French word meaning ticket, and later came to mean a prescribed routine, especially of court behavior. Now, who we have to thank for this is Charles I and II of England, because what they did is they took the rules of etiquette from the French court, and you know what? These rules became requirements of behavior everywhere. Requirements. Now, how about that? Kudos to Charles I and II. Well, once again, welcome everyone. We are certainly going to have, you know, like I said, a very empowering and discussion this evening, because this is a quite a powerful topic. Just thinking back as I was thinking about doing this particular episode, I do know that the pandemic, of course, birthed this share of just horrible problems and issues and deaths, heartaches. But, you know, there is one thing that I do know for sure is that it opened up a huge curtain, if you will, and created and exposed what I would call opportunities and platforms to discuss this topic openly and honestly, okay, and mental health. Because you know what, and I'm sure that you know that are listening, this has been a topic, you know, that had not been discussed as openly, especially in the Black community, where, you know, there had been, you know, such a stigma, if you will. And but, you know, at this point, it seems perfectly normal to talk about mental health or mental awareness. And, I mean, we talk about physical health, right? And we go to a doctor if we're having some issues physically. You know, we've even talked about, on this show, we've talked about spiritual health. So why not mental health? Okay, so I am going to tell you a little bit about my special guest here. Many of you have heard her before. She's certainly no stranger to the What is Etiquette Anyway show. Her name is Pepi Chapman. Currently, Pepi Chapman is a licensed clinical social worker at the Richard L. Rodebush, Virginia, or I'm sorry, VA in Indianapolis, Indiana, where she does psychotherapy with veterans. She received her bachelor's degree in social work from Oakwood University in Huntsville, Alabama, as well as her master's degree in social work from Indiana University. Her previous employment has been with Gallahoo Community Health Network, Pleasant Run, Giant Steps, and Children's Bureau, where she did community-based therapy with children and family who had issues with anger, substance abuse, depression, physical, sexual, mental, and emotional abuse, as well as neglect and other mental health issues. Now, she has also worked for the Resolute Treatment Center, where she did individual, family, and group therapy with male adolescent sex offenders. She also worked at the Newcastle Correctional Facility, where she did group therapy with adult male sex offenders. No matter the population she has worked with, you know, it has been both challenging and a rewarding experience that she, you know, she shares. And so I'm so excited to bring our therapist for the evening, Pepi. Pepi, how are you?
Good evening, Donna. I'm doing well. And how are you?
I'm doing well. Happy Sunday to you.
And same to you.
Thank you so much. And I am just so grateful that you are taking time to speak with us this evening, especially, you know, having such a very broad background, you know, surrounding this topic, you know, varied background surrounding the topic. And I just want to say, again, thank you so much, because I already know that this is going to be a powerful topic. And callers, I do see you on the line. And thank you for your patience. We are certainly going to be coming to you soon. And as I said, of course, Pepi, we know that this is a really important topic, right?
Oh, extremely.
And I believe people feel more comfortable because, you know, we hear about it more. We hear about people saying, well, you know, I need to check in on my mental health, or, you know, I'm my therapist, I'm speaking with my therapist and so on and so forth. And I can recall, you know, it, oftentimes that wasn't a real common topic that you would hear people really say, you know. And so I'm glad that it has been, you know, brought to the forefront to really discuss it. And it's okay to discuss it, right? And, of course, quite necessary. And so what I would like for you to do, if you will, you can just, you know, jump in and start wherever you like. I know that you have a lot of information that you would like to share. And so, you can tell, guys, I am so excited. I did not even give out the information. If you can certainly join the conversation as well by calling 516-418-5894, 516-418-5894, as well as you can send your comments or questions as well to etiquetteladies@gmail.com. All right, Peppy, so I'm going to turn this over to you and let you go ahead and get started.
Okay, well, thank you, Donna. It's definitely my pleasure. This evening, I want to definitely focus on, when you talked about mental health, specifically I want to talk about the suicide data and statistics. I'll be also sharing 14 suicide risk factors, as well as going over how to implement a safety plan, and then talking about active listening techniques, as well as how you can offer support to someone who may be suicidal, and then what a safety plan would entail. So I'll first talk about suicide data. So it can be, of course, a difficult topic to discuss, but it's definitely important to listen without judgment and to offer support when you do have a loved one in crisis. Making a safety plan can also help them kind of navigate those intense emotions in the future. And so when we look at suicide, and these stats are coming from 2020, where they said that the suicide is the 12th leading cause of death in the United States, and it's the fourth leading cause of death for adolescents ages 15 to 19 globally. It was estimated 3.2 million people planned a suicide, and 1.2 million actually attempted suicide, and there were 45,979 deaths by suicide. So you might ask, what are some of the suicide risk factors? And, of course, mainly they say it's the male gender, but, of course, we know it's both genders. And the interesting part about that, generally males carry out suicide the most by gunshots, whereas female, their preferred method is usually pills. Various other factors are various mental illnesses. There may be alcohol or drug abuse, prior suicide attempts, and then a family history of suicide attempts. So if, you know, brother committed suicide or any other relatives, mom or dad, the likelihood that, you know, the person could commit suicide is pretty high when there's been other family attempts. Also, when you have stressful life events, that can be a factor of committing suicides. You know, I've had clients who, you know, it seems like one thing happens right after another. They may have a death in their family. Then they may lose a job. It's possible they're losing a relationship, you know, and it just seems like the hits, you know, come, you know, pretty rapidly. And so stressful life events are definitely something that people are like, man, this is just not worth it. I'd rather just give up. You know, I'm exhausted. Also, serious physical illnesses. You know, you can imagine if persons have chronic illnesses, that they're definitely day in and day out, you know, just always hurting various body parts. and that could be a cause for them wanting to end it all. An anniversary of a loss. Also, body image disorders, access to lethal methods such as guns. Also, moderate drinkers, they say, are at risk of suicide. Effects of moderate drinking are heightened suicide thoughts and unplanned attempts, temporarily impairing judgment, which could lead directly to suicide attempts. And alcohol, there's a lot of times alcohol in the blood of many suicide victims. So what we recommend, if you or someone else you know is in a crisis or could be considering suicide or self-harm, we just say please seek support. And the number now that you can call, it's a shorter number that you can remember to call for Suicide and Crisis Lifeline, and that number is just dialing 988. Also, you can text HOME to the crisis text line at 741741. If you're not in the United States, find a helpline in your country with Befrienders Worldwide. You can also call 911 or your local emergency services if you feel safe to do so. And, of course, if you're calling on behalf of someone else, you want to stay with them until help does arrive, as well as removing any weapons or substances that could cause harm if you didn't do that safely. So when someone says that they're suicidal, you definitely want to listen without judgment. Those symptoms should not be dismissed or ignored. You know, it's easy to say, oh, I've heard that before, or they've always talked about they want to end it all. But asking directly whether they're experiencing suicidal thoughts is something that's imperative, because research shows that asking if someone is even thinking about suicide does not increase the risk of suicide ideation, but may actually be beneficial. So follow-up questions that you might ask them: have you tried to harm yourself before? This kind of establishes a pattern. And so if you've thought about doing it, just asking them, you know, what is the plan? What might make you act on these thoughts or feelings, you know, getting triggers or warning signs, which could be death anniversaries, you know, whether it's family deaths or close friend deaths. Active listening techniques, you know, continue to ask questions, showing interest with nonverbal cues, summarizing what the other person says, because this helps them feel acknowledged and validated while they're discussing a topic. So you might, you know, start saying, so I hear you saying you want to end your life because you feel life is not worth living, and you want to overdose. You know, tell me more. What do you plan on doing next? And then listening without interruption and using verbal encouragers. Try avoiding negative statements like bad or other people have it worse, because we, you know, truly don't know what people are dealing with on a day-to-day basis that causes them to feel like, you know, they want to end it all. Never describe suicide, they say, is selfish, stupid, cowardly, or weak, a choice or a sin, or that the person is going to hell. And of course, you know, that's the one that we hear all the time. And, you know, people, you know, they realize that. So we often ask at our job, like, what are the protective factors that might help you not want to carry out a plan? And so often people say, you know, I don't really want to die because of my faith. I have a strong faith in God and I feel it's wrong to do that. Some people say it's family members. I don't want to see my son or daughter or parents. I don't want them to have to go through that if I did end my life. Or, you know, I promised, you know, somebody that I would not, you know, go that route. So another
Can we stick a pin in that? Just for a moment, I want to talk about that because, you know, I have a major faith-based audience, right? And because I'm a woman of faith as well, a believer, and oftentimes you will hear that in your church that if you commit suicide, you're going to hell, right?
Right.
Right. And so I'm glad you mentioned that because, you know, that is something that it's really interesting. I know that I had a discussion with someone probably a few months ago, and we were on a in a meeting, and someone said, you know, why would that statement be made that you're going to hell if you're if you commit suicide? And, you know, I mean, who has actually experienced that? So they were, you know, in other words, they were saying, you know, why are you saying that? But, and don't, you know, tell anyone that. You know, they were saying, you don't want to tell anyone that. You want to encourage this person to help them, just what you're saying, you know, not being judgmental. Because oftentimes, you know, we can be very judgmental. And so I'm just so glad that you did mention that particular point, because and prior to that is sometimes we can be judgmental even before, you know, we really know what's going on. And then furthermore, we're not supposed to judge anyway, right? We're not supposed to even judge. That's not our job to judge, but it's to, you know, to give and extend hope, and like you're saying, to listen and to listen without judgment as well. And I you know, with you saying a couple of things that you said about, you know, committing suicide or killing yourself is stupid, and why should you be thinking like that, and those kinds of things. So those are, you know, those are certainly harmful things to say when you're interacting with someone who may be really in deep thought of doing that. And, you know, something like that can certainly push them over the edge. So we want to try not to do that. We want to try to continue to encourage and to love them, like you said, without having any kind of judgment. And to some, and sometimes the best way we can love is to listen, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, and let me just bring out another point, Donna. A lot of times when people are taking different medications, sometimes those make them become suicidal or, you know, just, you know, certain other mental health issues. So, you know, I know someone that said, if I wasn't taking a certain medication, I would have never, ever thought about even killing myself. So you really just don't know the situation, you know, that puts them in that mind frame of feeling they need to end it all. Or, you know, just certain, you know, mental health issues. You could just be, you know, but if you weren't in that state, you know, you probably wouldn't even think about ending your life. You know, so I think it's, you know, different circumstances. And I think God looks at all those different circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think you can automatically just say somebody's going to hell for that, because you don't know. Maybe, you know, they weren't in their right mind. But if they were, they would have made a different decision.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I know we'll have – yeah, it absolutely makes a lot of sense. And I know that we will have a friend coming on, and I know we've heard her too, Reverend Dr. Monica. So I know I'll have her kind of come on a little bit later in the show and just kind of talk about that, because she is also a minister. So I'm sure she has some comments on that as well. But for those, if you are just joining us, thank you. You are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. We're having an open dialogue here about mental health, as well as self-care, suicide, and we're hearing about this just so often. We're hearing about suicide. I just heard of a story a few days ago of a youth here that committed suicide, 16 years of age, and it's a real huge, you know, situation and issues, and so. We have Peppy on, and she is providing some guidance, giving some information. You know, we're talking about, you know, especially when you're interacting with someone who certainly, you know, may feel as though that they have no reason to live and they want to end their life. It's to, you know, to not to be judgmental and to talk to them, to encourage them. I do want to read this real quick. And you can feel free to send your messages to etiquetteladies@gmail, as some of you are already doing. This one says, Donna, happy Sunday to you, and congratulations on your new book. What is Business Etiquette Anyway? I love it. My family has listened to your show for 6 years. My sister and I believe that my dad is in need of mental health. What are some of the symptoms for men? Thank you. This comes from Kelly in New York City. And so, and thank you, Kelly, for submitting that. Yeah, so I know that you said how, you know, you made a distinction between males are more common, how they're more common to commit suicide is via guns and then females pills. But are there any specific symptoms? More so for men, or men might deal with than females. And what we can do, I can let you just kind of think on that for a second. We are pretty much at the bottom of the hour. I'm going to take a break. We're going to come back, and I want you to, if you would answer that question for Kelly. And Kelly, hang on, and we will be back in just a moment. Please, guys, don't go away, all right? We'll be right back in just a moment.
Have you secured your copy of the book, What is Business Etiquette Anyway? By Donna Page Riley. Key strategies for building successful working relationships. This handy reference guide empowers you with tips to sharpen your etiquette tools, such as how to conduct successful meetings, how to connect with your customers, how to walk into any room with confidence and poise, and mastering the art of networking, only to name a few. Whether you are a student, CEO, entrepreneur, contractor, business owner, or employee, you'll want to add this resource to your library. Go to courteouspublications.com, that's C-O-U-R-T-E-O-U-S, publications.com, click on Books and click the What is Business Etiquette Anyway photo and secure your copy today. What is Business Etiquette Anyway? By Donna Page Riley.
There's something you can do right now that will ease the pain of arthritis in years to come. By remembering the Arthritis Foundation in your will, you can help us find ways to stop this serious, often crippling disease. A disease that affects one in every seven Americans. Call the Arthritis Foundation at 1-800-283-7800. 1-800-283-7800. It's time we took arthritis seriously.
Hello, parents. Do you have school-age children or know someone who does? Listen up. Miss Donna has worked with youth and parents, building confidence and self-esteem for over 30 years. She is a John Maxwell Certified Master Level Trainer and Coach, as well as a Certified Disc Trainer. Since numerous parents have asked Donna for advice regarding their children and teens, during this challenging time, she is offering special coaching sessions right now. Participating in these sessions will help your youth to become more inspired and motivated during the pandemic and beyond. Testimonial. Sarai Blue says, Miss Donna's training motivated, uplifted, and encouraged my children, ages 5, 9, and 15, and they are excited and feeling confident again. If you are interested or know someone who is, quickly go to www.missdonnaspeaks.com. That's www.missdonnaspeaks@gmail.com. Click Coaching, then Contact, and complete requested info, or send an email to missdonnaspeaks@gmail.com. missdonnaspeaks@gmail.com. Hurry, space is limited.
Have you ever dreamed of becoming an author? You've wanted to write a book but are not sure of how to get started? Or perhaps you want to write a book but you hate writing? The truth is, most of us have information and testimonials inside of us that need to be shared. Did you know that reading about your story can possibly change the trajectory of someone's life for the good? People are waiting and needing to be guided, directed, inspired, and encouraged. And this can happen just from reading your story. CourteousPublications.com can help you write your book and get it out. We offer virtual workshops and one-on-one coaching sessions. And if you don't want to write it yourself, we can write it for you. For more information, go to CourteousPublications.com. That's CourteousPublications.com, CourteousPublications.com. Or you can send an email to CourteousPublications1@gmail.com. We help want-to-be authors write books. Welcome to ProMixGlobal.com. ProMix Global will help solve your audio recording and production needs, whether it's song recording, mixing and mastering, CDs, commercials, IVRs, audiobooks, or general voiceovers. ProMix Global is the choice for you. Your project will be delivered on time and on budget. For additional information or to schedule your studio time, go to www.promixglobal.com. Once again, www.promixglobal.com.
You are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. You may join the conversation by calling 516-418-5894 or email your questions or comments to missdonnaspeaks@gmail.com. Now back to the show.
Okay, we are back, and we are speaking with our therapist of the hour. Here is Pepe Chapman. We're having an open discussion about mental health. She's been speaking about suicide as well. And she certainly has mentioned, you know, the first thing that we don't want to do is we don't want to be judgmental when we're interacting with someone who feels as though they, you know, want to commit suicide and they no longer want to be here. And you can certainly join the conversation, 516-418-5894. Again, 516-418-5894. I'm going to see if I can start picking up a few of our callers. I will identify you by the last four digits of your phone number. You will know that I am referring to you. So if you would be ready, please. The last four digits is 3486. The last four digits of this number is 3486. Hello? Hello, 3486. Okay, all righty. Let me, they may be just listening, which is perfectly fine. The last four digits of this next number is 1900-1900. The last four digits of the number is 1900. Hello? Hello? Okay, we might be able to circle back if time permits. Sometimes people may be in an area where they may not be able to stream live, and they do call to listen over the phone, which that is perfectly fine. I do want to read another message, Pippi, here, and this one says, Miss Donna, I'm glad you are doing this show. Please ask your guest therapist, Pepe, how to convince my mother she needs mental help. She is 55 and things are not right. Thanks. Please don't say my name. Okay. All right. So she will certainly, or he, will certainly remain anonymous. Peppy, so she's thinking that, or she or he is thinking that the mom needs mental health. And so I guess what should you, you know, say to her that may be helpful?
Well, and I know that can, you know, be difficult because a lot of times, you know, people, you know, don't feel like they need it or, you know, they've always felt like, you know, this is our business. It should stay, you know, in the household. I don't want to tell people my business, you know. And, you know, and I don't know if she has or he has someone else, like another family member that she really respects. Who she would, you know, also listen to about needing help. I don't know if there's like a pastor or just someone who would be able to, you know, just assist her with getting the help. I know that, well, yeah, when people are just really reluctant, it's just hard. You know, to, you know, get them in. You know, we come across that because, you know, a lot of times people feel like, you know, if I get help, that means, you know, I'm a failure. You know, that means that, you know, why wouldn't I be? And some people feel like if I just pray, you know, hard enough, you know, maybe I can resolve things that way too.
It's just kind of reach out to someone that can help, right, for her or him.
Right.
Because we don't know who
right.
it is, yeah.
Right. But whether it's, like I said, somebody else that they really trust because maybe they're ashamed, you know, with their, you know, child, you know, saying that, hey, you need help. But maybe if somebody, you know, maybe if it was a, another sister or brother, maybe if it was a good friend or, like I said, maybe a pastor, somebody who, yeah. Because just, you know, when your children are pointing things out to you, it can be a touchy issue. So I don't know if, you know, that would help because unfortunately you can't make them, you know, get the help if they're not ready. You know, just when people are, you know, using and they have to acknowledge that they have a problem in order to get the help that they need. And if they don't reach out or if they don't acknowledge that, unfortunately, you know, they're not going to get the help. You know, if they feel like they're pushed into it, you know, it's just they're not going to get adequate help until they realize that they have the problem. Want to reach out for the help.
Wow, thank you. And we're
okay.
Sorry, we don't know if it's male or female, but it's the same, you know,
okay.
situation. See if, you know, maybe reach out to someone else, maybe, like you said, to help, you know, speak with them. I was reading this one, which is really interesting. It says, "Hi, Ms. Donna. My father committed suicide when I was 13 years old. Oftentimes, my twin said he feels like committing suicide sometimes. I just learned that it can be hereditary. Thank you. We will take him seriously now." And this comes from Jonathan, and Jonathan is in Dayton, Ohio. Wow. Okay. Well, I am so glad I'm so glad that you were listening. And you did mention that, you know, it could be, you know, if another family member did it, then you could certainly, it sounds like it could very much possibly be hereditary.
Correct.
Wow.
And again, you know, with that offering support, you know, not arguing with people, not losing your patience or debating, you know, whether suicide is right or wrong, just offering the support to the loved one and making sure that they definitely know they can open up to you, you know, and then also working with them so they can remove items like firearms, whether it's knives or drugs or pills, you know, out of that environment to help keep them safe, you know, encouraging them to also contact a doctor or a therapist. And when we look at making a safety plan, we look at having them identify any triggers or signs of suicidal thoughts, maybe outlining some healthy coping strategies to try, listing friends or family members to contact, as well as writing down like emergency contacts, whether it's a therapist, a psychiatrist, or a hotline, and then reducing access to lethal means, including firearms, knives, or pills. So, and a lot of times, just really staying in touch. A lot of times, some people, you know, they're just so lonely, and maybe they just need really someone to talk to. So after connecting with support resources, they need, you know, follow up to see how they are doing and letting them know they can also talk to you. I don't know, here, too, if people are suicidal, they can go to, like, what's called the Community North Behavioral Health Pavilion, and so that's where they can go here. I'm not sure in other places, but I think before I mentioned that Befrienders Network that people could call if they need help or go online, you know, Befrienders Worldwide, if they need help with seeking, you know, a place. Also, with the person, if you know they're feeling suicidal or whatever, just, you know, besides calling, you know, you can just send a text or even mail a thoughtful letter or postcard to a loved one to help them, remind them that you really do care. Something I wanted to kind of remind people of, Kevin Hines and the Golden Gate Bridge story. And I'm going to just kind of read some of that. And it says, you know, he was age 23. And it says he instantly regretted jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge. He was depressed. He had delusions and paranoia that drove him to attempt suicide, but he ended up surviving. A voice in his head had said, jump now. He leaped over a rail in September of 2000 and began a free fall that would reach 75 miles per hour on impact. The moment his fingers left the railing, he felt instant regret. He thought it was too late. What have I done? I don't want to die. I realized I made the greatest mistake of my life. Hines fell about 240 feet in just 4 seconds. He crashed feet first into the waters below, crushing spinal vertebrae and breaking an ankle, but he survived. Now he travels the world to speak about suicide prevention and mental health, telling his story to help others stay alive. The suicidal person, of course, needs to hear, he says, what I needed to hear, that we care about you, your life does matter, and that all we want is for you to stay, he says. If someone had looked at me on that bridge, on that bus, and said that to me, I would have begged for help. He says now he works diligently to manage symptoms of depression and hearing voices. He has visited several hospitals since his jump. Additionally, he takes medication and sees a therapist. He does at least 23 minutes of vigorous exercises each morning, which leads to a better mood. He eats a brain-healthy diet, does daily light box therapy, meditates, and uses music therapy, sleeps 7 to 8 hours, and refrains from drugs and alcohol. And so, yeah, with that, it's just, you know, interesting. A lot of times, again, you know, people don't really want to die, but they just don't see any other way out. And so, fortunately for him, he survived. You know, a lot of people don't. Something else I wanted to kind of read. This comes from Renee Lucero. I happened to find this just a little earlier, but she's a nurse. And she says, before you kill yourself, she says, you've decided to do it. Life is impossible. Suicide is your way out. Fine, but before you kill yourself, there are some things you should know. She says, I am a psychiatric nurse, and I see the results of suicide, when it works and more often when it doesn't. Consider before you act these facts. She said, suicide is usually not successful. You think you know a way to guarantee it? Ask the 25-year-old who tried to electrocute himself. He lived, but both his arms are gone. What about jumping? Ask John. He used to be intelligent with an engaging sense of humor. That was before he leaped from a building. Now he's brain damaged and will always need care. He staggers and has seizures. He lives in a fog. Worst of all, he knows he used to be normal. What about pills? Ask the 12-year-old with extensive liver damage from an overdose. Have you ever seen anyone die of liver damage? You turn yellow and it's a hard way to go. What about a gun? Ask the 24-year-old who shot himself in the head. Now he drags one leg, has a useless arm, and has no vision or hearing on one side. He lived through his foolproof suicide. You might too. Who will clean your blood off the carpet or scrape your brains from the ceiling? Commercial cleaning crews may refuse that job, but someone has to do it. Who will have to cut you down from where you hanged yourself or identify your bloated body after you've drowned? Your mother, your wife, your son? The carefully worded loving suicide note is of no help. Those who loved you will never completely recover. They'll feel regret and an unending pain. Suicide is contagious. Look around at your family. Look closely at the 4-year-old playing with his cars on the rug. Kill yourself tonight, and he may do it 10 years from now. You do have other choices. There are people who can help you through this crisis. Call a hotline. Call a friend. Call your minister or priest. Call a doctor or hospital. Call the police. They will tell you that there's hope. Maybe you'll find it in the mail tomorrow or in a phone call this weekend. But what you're seeking could be just a minute, a day, or a month away. You say you don't want to be stopped, still want to do it? Well then, I may see you in the psychiatric ward later, and we'll work with whatever you have left. So that was...
You said this was... I'm sorry, who wrote that, did you say?
Her name is Renee Lucero. She's an RN, a psychiatric nurse.
Okay, mm-hmm. All right. I just wanted people to know in case they tuned in when you were in the midst of reading that. And that just sounds, so they don't know exactly, what you were talking about. And, guys, if you did just join us, no worries. You will be able to go back and listen to the show in its entirety. But we've been having dialogue here about mental health and suicide and actual safety plans. And, guys, I thank you so much. I am going to come back to the phone. Let's see. Again, I will identify you by the last four digits of your phone number. You'll know I'm speaking with you. The last four digits is 8005. Hello.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Hello. Hi.
Or evening.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yes. Hi.
Hi, Miss Pappy.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing good. My name is Lanice. And how are you doing?
Okay, and how about you? It's so good to hear from you.
You as well. This was just so impactful. I'm seriously lost for words. This is something that is so much needed because it's not spoken actually about, a lot. So doing it in this form, I think, is something that's going to help a lot of people, especially, the teenagers as well that are out here. So I really have anything to add to this. It is very sensitive, and I just appreciate you both for actually, speaking on this. And I just want to call and say I'm here and I'm listening, and I thank you guys for that.
Well, and thank you. We really appreciate your feedback.
and how much you've expressed how important it is for this subject to be discussed.
Yes. Yes, it is. Well, I think of Miss Donna. I am so sorry. Hi, Miss Donna.
Oh, no worries. How you doing? I'm so glad that, yeah, we're so always so glad to hear from you and your comments. And so I certainly do appreciate you listening this evening as well. Thank you
so
much.
And I definitely will find a way to share this with a lot of others because this needs to be heard.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Okay. It definitely is wonderful hearing that. We love hearing, you know, positive comments and knowing that it's making a difference, these messages. Okay. So the next thing I'll do is discuss
Sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. We've extended out a little bit, guys, this evening. We were scheduled to end at 9, but we have extended out just in anticipating that there was going to be a lot of information and making sure that we can address all of the comments that you are sending and those of you that are calling. No worries. It is, you know, leading toward the 9 o'clock hour to end the show, but we are going to extend a little bit past so we can get everybody on, and do stay tuned too, because we will have Monica will be coming up too, and she is going to talk a little bit about the youth as well. And so certainly would like for you to hear that. If you miss any of the show, do know that you will be able to go back and listen to it in its entirety, okay? So I just wanted to put that out there as well. Okay, go right ahead, because I know you have additional information. I want to make sure you're able to share all of this information.
Okay. So we talk about coping strategies or coping mechanisms that people can do to engage in. And a lot of times just things like engaging in hobbies a lot of times is helpful. A lot of times people become depressed and they feel like, you know, they just do not want to do anything. So we always encourage to do some kind of hobbies, whether they're hobbies from years ago they used to like doing, or developing new hobbies. Also, being able to actually go out, you know, I encourage people go out, especially, you know, if you're married or you have a significant other, going on date nights, being able to watch movies, do some reading, do some mindfulness techniques or grounding techniques, you know, those deep breathing exercises, those progressive muscle relaxation exercises or guided imagery, solving a puzzle or doing crosswords, playing a musical instrument, being able to go boating or fishing, going to a fair, a park or zoo, going to a museum or starting a garden or taking care of plants, participating in a social community or religious group, going golfing, cleaning or organizing things, even going places, just going to a spa, you know, getting a manicure, a pedicure, a facial, just doing something for yourself, listening to music, being able to go on a walk, playing with pets. And let me just tell you, with pets, so valuable, you know, especially people who are feeling alone, people who don't really have family or friends. Pets work wonders, you know. Especially, you know, emotional support animals. Going to auctions or garage sales, sewing, knitting, or crocheting, work or crafts, watching or participating in sports, and also being able to journal. And a lot of times the good thing about journaling, you know, just kind of writing down, you know, things you're doing, writing down your goals. And the good thing about journaling, when you're doing it on a consistent basis, going back, whether it's a month, 2 months, 5 months, a year, and seeing, you know, how far you've progressed. It's nice to see, well, man, last year, this time, this is how I was thinking, this is how I was feeling, and now look at me now. I've made so much more progress. And so I definitely, you know, try to emphasize the journaling piece.
And Peppy, if I can just interrupt for just a second, of course, that is one of my favorite things to do is journaling. But what I'm so glad that you did, because oftentimes, you know, when you're journaling, going back, when you go back, you can go back and read, you know, if you put in, depending on how you were feeling, you put in some depressing things, you go back and read it. Sometimes if you go back and reread that, you can become more depressed. But I'm so glad that you flipped that around. And said, you know, when you go back and read it, you can see what your thought, you know, what your thought process was at that time. But then you say, okay, look at me now. So I've overcome this. I'm so glad that you said that, because many times going back to reread, you know, may just kind of put you right back into that state of mind that you were in when you made those entries that may not have been so, you know, positive or wonderful. So I just wanted to just kind of interrupt you just for a quick second and say thank you so much for that, because that makes a huge difference in your mindset, you know. It really does. And guys, I know if you're listening live, if you are streaming live, you would normally lose us in about 3 or 4 minutes, but we have extended the show out some. I know I do see some additional callers that are on as well, and as well as we have received some additional messages I am looking at as well. And we are going to try to do our very best to make sure that we can cover everything. We do have the Reverend Dr. Monica on. I know she is going to give us some information as well. What I'm going to do, we're almost at the top of the hour. I'm going to take a real short break. We're going to come right back. We're going to go back to the phones. Before that, let me go ahead and read this, because in case someone cannot stay with us that has already sent a message, this one says, thank you for this discussion. Therapist is on point. My daughter killed herself, and I wish she could have heard the info that the nurse wrote. We did have to deal with those horrible after effects. Thanks again, Belinda in D.C. Wow. Belinda, thank you so much. I know that had to be challenging for you to send that message, but I thank you so much. And guys, in case you weren't listening, you may want to go back. There was a nurse that wrote a letter stating that, you know, if you would, what some of the results would be after committing suicide, what people, you know, surrounding that situation would have to do. And they weren't, you know, pretty statements. So, Belinda, just in case you were needing to get off from streaming or listening, I thank you so much for sharing that with us. And I'm so sorry as well for your loss. I really am, but thank you so much. I believe your comment will help someone else, so thank you. And so I did want to just get that real quick, and then I see you. We'll certainly be right back. I see you on 522-8974-8605. I do see those lines, and we'll be back with Peppy in just a minute. Please don't go away.
Hello, everyone. Do you want to be inspired and encouraged? Listen up. I want to tell you about a new and exciting book called My Forever Affirmations Book and Journal, Positive Thoughts for All Ages by Donna Paige Riley. Have you or someone you know ever struggled with low self-esteem or self-worth? Been bullied? Felt like giving up on something that seems too hard to accomplish? Get nervous about taking a test for school? Feel like quitting? Feel self-conscious? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you will want to purchase a copy of My Forever Affirmations Book and Journal. My Forever Affirmations is a book and journal of quick, to the point, powerful, encouraging, positive thoughts and poems that will keep you encouraged no matter your age or what you're facing. There's also room to write your personal thoughts. We all need to be encouraged in positive ways, don't we? After reciting these affirmations, you are sure to feel good or better about yourself. You will be encouraged. Hurry, order now. Copies are limited. Go to www.amazon.com. Type in My Forever Affirmations by Donna Paige Riley. Again, go to www.amazon.com. Type in My Forever Affirmations by Donna Paige Riley and secure your copies. You'll be so glad you did.
According to the American Diabetes Association, the strongest evidence for diabetes prevention comes from the Diabetes Prevention Program, or DPP, demonstrated that an intensive lifestyle intervention could reduce the incidence of type 2 diabetes by 58% over 3 years.
You are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. You may join the conversation by calling 516-418-5894 or email your questions or comments to MissDonnaSpeaks@gmail.com. Now back to the show.
Okay, we are back, and we've extended our show a little longer this evening so that we can accommodate the messages that you are sending and our callers. Again, I do want to also, just in case, this is Sarah in Atlanta, just in case she's needing to drop off, this quick message says, Miss Donna, many times I have felt so depressed that I want to kill myself. I am a single parent with 5 kids, and I always remember that if I do go through with it, what will my kids do? I pray for myself and will talk to my minister for help. This show has made me rethink some things. Thank you, Sarah in Atlanta. Sarah, thank you so much for sharing that. And yes, I am so glad that you are rethinking, and my prayer certainly goes out to you as well. And yes, talk to your minister, talk to someone, yes, and please do be encouraged. And again, I want to say thank you, Sarah, so much for listening. And Pepe, that is just one of the main reasons, you know, that we do this show, is so that we can, you know, encourage and inform, encourage and educate as well. And just for, you know, those types of, messages that we receive like that. I'm just so, so grateful. And I know, guys, this is a very, you know, it's a very challenging subject to speak about. And not is it only a very challenging subject, also a very necessary subject to speak about as well. I promised we would go back to the phones, and thank you, callers, so much for your patience. It's so, so appreciated. The last 4 digits of this number is 1522. The last 4 digits of this number is 1522. Hello?
The last 4 digits of this number is 1522.
Hello?
The last 4 digits of this number is 1522.
Okay.
Hello?
All right, we're going to see if we can go back to, we'll try to circle back to 1522. And when we do pick up, if you would listen through your phone, that would be great. We won't have to worry about feedback because we certainly want to hear exactly what it is you'd have to say. The last 4 digits, 6832. The last 4 digits, 6832. Hello. 6832, hello. Okay, all right. They may be just listening. Let's see if we can just do a quick circle back. 1522, hello. Extension 1522. All right, maybe they are just listening. I want to bring on Monica here. Monica, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. I have another minute or two.
Okay, thank you so much. I so appreciate you. And guys, you've certainly heard Monica on before. Monica has has a podcast that she does as well called Sister Sacred. So she's on my show a bit, and I usually join her show as well. And she wants to, I've asked her to certainly to just kind of share a little bit, you know, about her show as well as some stats. If we can, you know, just kind of talk about some stats, because we talked about this in your show on last Monday, but you talked about it from a little different perspective. And so can you just kind of share a little bit of that and some ideas that you had suggested? But I know,
right.
You know, we're
well,
your youth. Uh-huh. Go right ahead.
Yeah, quickly, our show, Sister, S-I-S-T-A-H, Sacred, does air on Mondays at 9 p.m. Via the podcast program or app on Spotify, but you can also listen to any of our recordings on your favorite podcast app. We talked about Side last week, and we did have some stats that we got from the American Association of Medical Colleges. And what I was shocked about was that the age group that they had researched went as low as 10 years old. And it was just so devastating to think about a 10-year-old, an innocent, in my mind, of course, not knowing what this kind of life is like, an innocent person of that age shouldn't even be thinking about death. How is it that someone that young could be thinking about suicide? And so that was one of the things that we discussed. But just to address also the spiritual and or faith-based part of this discussion, all churches don't necessarily consider suicide to be mortal sin. The Catholic Church does, and maybe its descendants do in terms of denominations. But one thing that we warn against is telling a person, judging where a person will spend eternity. We as human beings have no way of knowing that. We have no way of knowing what those persons who attempted, whether they succeeded or not, did in their last moments of life. We do believe that there is never too late a moment to ask for forgiveness, and a person on their way to death could certainly do that. So my warning to those of you who may have been in a situation where you were tempted to use that as an excuse or a reason or a rationale, a way to convince the person not to commit suicide, if you can steer away from that and just simply say that your life is in God's hands, and steer them instead to a clergy person who is ordained and licensed in pastoral counseling. And I do emphasize that, because just as in the secular sector, I would imagine our counselor can tell us this, who's on the line with us today and who has shared such important information. You do have to be licensed and be certified in a particular area of study to counsel people. You don't just go to any doctor. You go to one who is licensed. And the same would applies for pastors. All of us are not licensed in pastoral counseling. So just make sure that when you do go for prayer, for guidance, that you know to whom you're going, what their credentials are, and again, at the perspective of the person's faith and spiritual life, something that you cannot judge. Instead, leave that to God and, of course, to the person to whom they'll go to pray with. Thank you so much.
And we'll definitely, I'll be speaking with you on tomorrow, actually, on your show. And I will post your information and share as well. And we will have coming up within the next couple of weeks or so, we will discuss this topic when it comes to the youth, because it was, and I know I reached out to you, Monica, I think it was either Tuesday or Wednesday that I saw on the news that this teenager who was 16 years of age committed suicide. Okay. And it just really, my heart just really dropped when I heard that. And I just, oh, my gosh, it was really, really something. And you know, the mom, they interviewed the mother, and the mother was saying that, you know, her daughter had been bullied last year in school. They took her out of school and allowed her to go virtual. But she was so bullied so badly via social media. And so I'm definitely, within the next couple of weeks, we're definitely going to have this conversation, and we'll have someone on that also interacts and counsels youth and parents, right, because it's so important, you know. And the mom kept saying, it was just so heartbreaking. She said she went through her phone and was looking at the threads and how badly her daughter was being bullied, you know, socially. So I know oftentimes parents may think that if you take them out of school and you homeschool them or you allow them to learn virtually, they won't have to be exposed to that. But this is absolutely not true.
No, you have to monitor those devices. And if you know your child is having that kind of problem, then it could be that further monitoring is necessary and even some restrictions. So, and that might be something, you know, we can discuss later on as well. But tomorrow night we'll be looking at therapies, including music therapy and pets. I think I heard you all mention pets earlier. So that might be another topic.
Peppy did.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Pep. All right. Appreciate you, Monica. I'll speak with you tomorrow evening. Thanks again. And Peppy? Okay, yes, yes, you did mention pets, and of course, you know I love pets. I have a cat. I love my cat. That's my my baby, and they are very helpful. Yeah, they're very, very helpful. I said, if you want to learn, and I just always say, if you want to learn how to relax and just, you know, not really worry about anything, be in the presence of a cat, because they will show you that they're not concerned about a whole lot, and they will certainly, you know, show you how to rest. so we'll talk a little more about that. But guys, in case you are, you know, still listening, I thank you so much for staying on with us. We did extend the show out just a little bit for the simple fact that we knew that it would be a lot of interaction, whether via phone or messages. And I thank you all so much for the messages. Sometimes this topic may be a little more challenging to actually speak about, and people prefer to just, you know, send a message, which is perfectly fine, and it's perfectly understandable. And I thank you for that. So, Peppy, if you would, I know you mentioned that a couple phone numbers, like a suicide prevention number. I know that you did say 988 is, I think that's a standard number no matter where, because we know we have listeners in different parts of the country.
Okay.
And so, that is just a national number, right, that they can call from wherever they live, 988. And then you said they can also feel comfortable calling 911 too, right?
Right. And also, if they're not in the United States, they can find a helpline in their country with Befrienders Worldwide.
Okay. And that is Befrienders. Is that B-E-F-R-I-E-N? Spell that for you.
Yeah, that's, sure. B-E-F-R-I-E-N-D-E-R-S. Worldwide.
Okay. Worldwide, okay. And I will, following the show, I will be posting these as well onto the post. I'll add these onto the post as well. So I know
One more thing. They can text home to the crisis text line at 741-741.
Okay. 741-741. Okay, I wrote that down, but I didn't. So text home, did you say? H-O-M-E?
Uh-huh. Correct.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so guys, so there's, you know, a variety of different ways. And please, guys, share this information, share this episode, and because, you know, we've covered some really critical information. And I definitely also loved Reverend Monica coming on and saying that, you know, no one really knows, so don't judge, but you know, encouraged. That's what we've been saying all along, with such helpful information. And especially when you guys are, you know, you reply immediately, we know that we are, you know, in our calling and we're doing what we're supposed to do, because what we want to do is to help, again, you know, to, you know, encourage, to inform, and to educate as well. And I thank you all for your feedback, absolutely. So I just want to, in just a couple minutes, if you would, because I know you prepared quite a bit of information, and is there anything else that just really sticks out that you really would like for our listeners to be able to walk away with, and perhaps just, you know, feel a little more comfortable if they are themselves dealing with a situation? Because I do want to say, and I think I mentioned this on Monica's show last week, is that everybody that feels like committing suicide, I'm understanding, are not going to tell you, I feel like committing suicide. They're not going to tell you that. They may say it in different dialogue, but they all don't say, well, you know, I feel like killing myself today. You know, so what can you say? I know you mentioned some tips, you know, to look out for. I know that someone had sent a message about what are some of the symptoms for men, and you mentioned that. Are there any other kind of symptoms for women, or that might, you know, differentiate from those that men may be feeling?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think for women, especially women who are single parents, you know, they have to take on that role, you know, of being mom and dad, plus they're single men too, but and having to be concerned and worry about how they're going to provide, you know, for their children, and, you know, just and then stereotypes, you know, that they're probably concerned about. And then knowing that, I mean, it's just difficult trying to make ends meet. And so a lot of times that it, you know, people can be like, man, I just want to give up. You know, no one's helping me. And especially if you don't really have a strong support system, you know, outside of your family, it's just really hard. And then on top of that, if you're dealing with other, you know, things like chronic pain, that's something that is challenging on top of that. And, you know, and then on top of that, if your children also have issues as well, you know, whether it's physical or mental issues. You know, that can cause you to just want to, you know, give up and end it all. And then a lot of times, too, when people, you know, they also say people, when you do have an active religious faith, it helps. Because if you don't have, you know, a regular family, biological family that's involved, or friends, sometimes a church family, and it can be of assistance. So I really recommend that for people, of course, if they're open to that. And then, you know, other signs and symptoms, you know, people just to look out for if somebody is just, you know, experiencing deep sadness or emptiness, if they're lacking any interest, enthusiasm, constantly feeling agitated or restless, and, of course, sleep disturbances, weight loss, lack of concentration and focus. Excessive guilt or worthlessness. You know, a lot of times people are like, man, I, you know, I feel like I haven't really contributed anything to society, you know, or feeling like I should be further in life than I am, you know. A lot of times when people take a different route or get off track, or maybe someone, you know, starts using drugs and alcohol and then end up losing everything, it's kind of like, man, you know, I'm really a failure, and, you know, I'm not good for anybody. I've really messed up, and that can cause people to want to, you know, just feel like, hey, I'm giving up. And then, you know, if they're constantly having, if they're telling you to, I'm constantly having morbid thoughts or, you know, thoughts of death. And then, you know, if they're really feeling fatigued.
Well, Debbie, thank you so much. And I, you know, I did want to say too, guys, that we have to watch to our self-talk and try to, you know, to stay away from negative self-talk. So we have to extend ourselves some grace because oftentimes, you know, when we're tired or when we're stressed, then, you know, we will talk to ourselves more than likely the way we shouldn't. And so we should actually, you know, try to continue to encourage ourselves. And what helps me is by, you know, quoting scripture. You know, I try to make sure I continue to, you know, because we have to, if we're believers, that we're supposed to believe what God says about us. And everything that he says about us is good and positive and encouraging. And so we have to intentionally do that. And I just find a better way to do that is to, I have, you know, scriptures and affirmations all over everywhere, the house. So if I don't necessarily feel like saying them or remembering or whatever, they're everywhere. And something, too, I certainly don't want to leave out is that a good idea is to, we all have phones or tape recorders or something, repeat and record some affirmations or some scriptures of encouragement. Go ahead and the days that you're feeling great, right, go ahead and record those affirmations so that on days that you may not feel like actually, you know, reciting those, what you just press, pull it up, press play and listen. And it's important, too, to listen to them in your own voice, okay? That's really important. And I just think of also the fruits of the Spirit, you know, that we have to, that we all have, but we have to claim them. And those are, and that's why I put them in the tags, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, kindness. I like to initiate acts of kindness and self-control, of course. So we just have to, sometimes we have to just really continue to affirm ourselves, declare these scriptures. I mean, I've had times where I felt depressed. You know, none of us are immune to it. And so I'm just sharing some of the things that help me and is to continue to recite and to declare affirmations and scriptures, you know. And something else for me that I like to do that helps me is I love gospel music. And so I'll put on some gospel music that ministers to me, and I'll just, and after a while, it's like, okay, you feel this little cloud lifting. So in other words, you know, that may or may not work for you, that are listening, but, you know, find out and do what works for you so we can keep ourselves in that positive, encouraging headspace. That is so important, you know, how we feel about ourselves and what we say to ourselves. And oftentimes, you know, people have a lot of negative self-talk. If you talk to yourself in a negative way, it's going to be very difficult to feel encouraged or to feel, you know, that you're positive. And so that is really, really important, okay? And so, Pepe, again, I want to thank you so much for this rich dialogue that we've had this evening. And, guys, again, if you, you know of someone or if you're feeling this way yourself, again, we're going to repeat these lines. I'm going to also add them to the promo link, suicide, call 988, or if you, you know, don't remember 988, you can call 911. Also, Pepe shared to text HOME, H-O-M-E, to 741-741, and to reach out for help, to reach out and speak with someone, you know, and Monica. Monica, of course, did say that make sure that, you know, who you do reach out and receive information from as far as any type of therapy or advice, make sure that they're licensed. And so that is very, very important. She also talked about everyone that is, you know, as a clergy or, you know, are calling themselves ministers may not necessarily be licensed. So you want to check that out as well. Again, I want to say thank you to everyone who listened, everyone who called, who sent us messages. And I am just so, so grateful that you did. I'm looking, let's see here. And I do have one more I do want to share. This one just says, Donna, thank you for this topic. I have been so encouraged and uplifted and know some signs to look for. I appreciate your various topics. Thanks again. This is Tom in Alpharetta. Tom, thank you so much for sending that, and I'm glad I saw this just before we signed out. Again, I so appreciate you appreciate the various topics, and I appreciate you as well. So thank you so much. And, yes, Pepe did talk about a lot of the signs that you should look for, as well as a lot of additional information. Please share this link with others. And, again, you can go back and listen to the show in its entirety, as all of our shows do archive. Again, I want to applaud you, Pepe, for leading this discussion on this, you know, pretty challenging topic. But I am just so grateful now that, you know, people are a little more open now to discuss mental health and mental awareness. You know, it's so important. And then that is definitely a part of self-care. And again, as I mentioned earlier, you know, we go to the doctor for our physicals. If we're sick, we go to the doctor if we're physically sick. But if we're not feeling good, we might be mentally sick. It's okay to go to the doctor to also, you know, to be able to receive treatment, to receive help, okay? Again, guys, thank you. If it's your first time listening, I certainly do appreciate it. For my listeners that listen all the time, thank you so much for being a part of the What is Etiquette Anyway family. And, hey, if you have a topic that you would like to hear us cover, as you know that etiquette encompasses every single area of our lives, if you have a topic, reach out and let me know, and I'll see what we can do about that. Again, I appreciate when you tell your friends and family about our show and invite them to listen. After all, of course, the goal is to make the world a polite place to live. And I know I can only do that one person at a time. And remember, never tire of loyalty and kindness. Hold these virtues tightly. Write them deep within your heart. And I certainly want you to do that and initiate an act of kindness this week. Would you please initiate an act of kindness this week? I do also want to invite you. I'll be posting this soon. I am so grateful that the Women's Federation for World Peace invited me to be a speaker at their first Global Women's Peace Network. It's going to be a webinar, and the topic is going to be media and SDG 17, which is bridging divides and fostering connections. And this is going to be an acknowledgement of the discussions taking place in July at the UN High-Level Political Forum on Sustainable Development, okay? And it's going to be on this coming Saturday, July 29th. I will be posting additional information about that. I almost forgot to mention that, and I certainly want to invite you to participate in that as well. Again, I'll be posting that. Again, guys, please, please, please initiate an act of kindness this week. And you know what? Again, if you're intentional, I know that you can initiate an act of kindness at least once per day. And it doesn't have to be anything major. It can just, you can just hold the door open for the person that is walking in behind you instead of letting the door hit them in the face. Okay? So, again, thank you all for listening. This has been a very, very a great conversation. It's been an informative conversation. Thank you again, Pepe. I so appreciate you. I do want to applaud you as well. And I thank you so much again for taking time out of your schedule, especially to extend on with us this evening, okay? So thanks again. Good night, everyone. Take care. God bless.
Thanks for listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. Please join us again next time as we will discuss another exciting topic.